This is going to be more of a lesson than a sermon. Actually, this is just one of a three-part message that I have. It's entitled Making Wise Decisions. And I wanted to give you the first part of that. Sometimes we have to make some pretty major, yes, sir.
You know, sometimes we ought to have a testimony time because the way the Lord blesses and works in our lives, sometimes other people can be encouraged by that. The Lord's still working. He's working in the lives and hearts of people. And sometimes when we're a little bit down and out, maybe a little bit backslidden, it's always good to hear from someone else. How's Jack doing? Make sure we keep Brother Jack Knight in prayer as well. And Brother Bob and what he's going through is you got some news that they need some more paperwork. We're hoping that they'll approve the procedure that he wants done to his knees, and the cortisone's just not working. And a lot of people it doesn't. It may work 7 to 10 days, but it's not a long term cure for what he's going through. So we're praying that that procedure gets approved and he can have it on his knees, and that'll give him some relief. I don't know if you know this, but he can barely walk from place to place. I can't imagine being in such pain. And if I was, I don't know if I'd have the courage to continue on as strong as he continues on. We just want to, we got to keep our people in prayer. Just continue to remember them in prayer. It just helps, it encourages, and it strengthens. Yes, ma'am. All right, let's remember everyone. See, you find out people have some things going on in their lives, and sometimes you want to know, people say, well, I can't pray longer than 5 minutes. You start hearing some of the people's requests and you start praying for them, you'll find out that 5 minutes turns into 50 minutes, and you're going to say, where did that time go? But isn't that what we're supposed to do as far as Christians pray for one another? You know, we may have an aisle that separates the left from the right, but they're still brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to pray for them. I think about the our school. I think about the sacrifices the parents make as far as the tuition that they pay. I think about the young people and the education that they're getting, and we pray for them. It's not easy for them. Each and every one of us have been in school before, and we know what it's like, so we need to pray for each other. Pray for the Christian school, Brother Dave, and the staff, the teachers, just alone in what they do as far as their sacrifice. Sometimes, because we don't see it, we forget about it, or we don't realize what the sacrifices that they're making, and they truly are. And again, we need to really, if we don't pray for each other, who will? Who will? Proverbs chapter 3. Well-known verses. I want to read verse 5 and 6, and then chapter 28, verse 26 of Proverbs. Why don't you stand for the reading of God's word, please? Making wise decisions. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say this: Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, for in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And in Proverbs 28:26 it says, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let's pray. Again, Father, we come to you asking for your blessings, your guidance, and direction. Father, we thank you so much for these words that are in your Bible that encourage us. Proverbs is such a great book with so many things in there that would enhance our Christian walk. And Father, we thank you for the lesson of wisdom and knowledge and how we can make intelligent decisions, how we can make wise decisions. I pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts and our minds. I pray, Father, you bless these people. They spent the time to get ready to come into to church this evening. I pray for them. Some came great distances, and I pray, Father, that you would just bless them. Father, we pray for those
pray for Mrs. Greaves and others, Father, that we didn't pray for earlier. We pray for their strength and health, and Father, we pray that you would touch them and heal them. Father, just bless, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, many people have spoiled their Christian lives because of their bad decisions. You ever make bad decisions? You ever go ahead of God as far as a Christian goes and said, oh, I got this, God. You can take the day off, and come to find out that the decision you made was a terrible decision. Why? Because you didn't consult the Lord. Sometimes we can ruin our lives by not consulting God, by not asking Him and telling Him, God, this is a major decision. And I don't know about you, but it doesn't always have to be a major decision. I want God to rule and reign and guide and direct in everything that I do. You go down the highway, I want Him to surround that car from bumper to bumper with angels as I'm traveling down the highway. You say, that's a silly thing. Well, it may be silly, but I believe He can. And I believe I traveled 4 years, 2 hours and 6 minutes, depending how the wind blew. Sometimes I can make it less than that. But and God made sure that the car ran. We got from point A to point B without any accidents. We never caused any, and we never involved in any. And if you think, I think that was a miracle. I think God answered prayers. So I want God in every decision and that I make. Sometimes, and I'm sure that you do it as well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. I run ahead of Him. Sometimes I don't consult Him. I'm not saying, God, I can handle this, but I might as well, if I'm not asking Him for His decision. And I wonder sometimes how God feels about that. And God says, here with His arms wide open, looking down, use me. Here I am. I'm up here. I've given you my book. I tell you what I want, that I'm here for you. And sometimes we just don't open up that chain of communication. We just don't dial up in our prayer life and say, God. And sometimes we should, because we would be much better off. The decisions we make were bad because they were made apart from God, God's will. Sometimes we go ahead and we get in the wrong job and we make the wrong friends. And sometimes, in some cases, we get involved with the wrong marriage partner. We make mistakes in pursuit of education, mistakes made in moving from place to place. I know you've never done it. I know that you've never done it, but I certainly have. And sometimes they're devastating mistakes. Sometimes they're lifetime mistakes. Sometimes they're mistakes that just don't involve you, but the rest of your family. So we need God on our side. There's a lesson that I won't tell you about. Sometimes we need to seek counsel. Sometimes we need to seek godly counsel. Sometimes we need to seek more than just one counsel. That's just one way of making sure that we make wise decisions in our lifetime. There's nothing wrong with that. There are people that go through things each and every day that we can go to, that have been through things that we've gone to, that can help us. That's just an avenue. That's just the channel. That's just something God has given us that we can it will help in our decision-making process. It is not only young people who make unwise decisions. Many older and elder people have committed this grave mistake as well. I tell you, and the pastor knows this, and it's no surprise to you, but in all honesty, I would like to pastor another church one of these days. But God has got me on hold. He's got me waiting. He's got me learning and growing. He's got me exactly where He wants, and I don't want to go ahead of Him. I don't want to go somewhere that He doesn't want me to go. And I want it to be His place, His time, because I know that if I do that, then even when things are bad, even when we're in the valley, God's with us and with me. So I want to make sure that He helps me, that He guides and directs me as far as making wise decisions. Let me give you some fundamental Bible principles for making wise
decisions in God's will. And again, this is not all of them. It's just a couple things for you to think about when you start making decisions. And I know you say, well, you know, I'm in the fourth quarter of my life, the latter part of my life. Well, you still need God when making decisions in your life. And God, listen, it's not God's decision for us in our fourth quarter of life. And they say from 60 on is about the fourth quarter of your life. God still wants you to be active and involved in His ministries and serving Him. God still wants you to go out and win souls to Him. God still wants you to be involved in ministries. Don't ever say, I'm too old. You're not too old if God hasn't said that you're too old. You're not. And sometimes we think, well, I'm too old. It's time for someone younger to take the mantle from me. No, if God says it, and you've prayed about it, and you've consulted God, and he's part of that decision-making process, then you're right. But if he's not, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that until God, you consult God, and he tells you that's true. Because I guarantee you, if he closes one door, then he's going to open up something else as for you as far as service goes. But I want to give you a couple things. First, when making a decision, don't trust your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. What does it say in verse 5? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The individual that trusts his own understanding will make wrong decisions more times than not. We have the fallen nature still living inside of us. We are saved. The old man is still there. We have the new nature inside of us, but the old nature is still there, and they're still warring against one another. And don't tell me that the devil doesn't want to trip us up. Don't tell me that the Lord doesn't want us to forego the Lord and seeking His way and will when it comes to decision making. Because if he can trip you up, then you're a statistic. And you might be a statistic that never comes back as far as the service to the Lord goes. That's why it's so important. Don't lean on your own understanding. Well, I've done this before. I know what to expect. I know what needs to be done. Don't you think you still need to pray to the Lord? Don't you still? Because that old devil can throw a whole monkey wrench into the works. And we need God's guidance and steps and help all the way. Even though the believer has a new nature called the new man, the old man is still there and can still lead us astray. We must seek God and trust Him totally. Trust Him. We need to have like an Abraham's faith. Listen, he left his family and his home to go he didn't know where, to do he didn't know what. He didn't know how he was going to be provided for, but by faith he trusted the Lord. That's what we need to do. Put our faith. Listen, don't you tell me that as he was walking, as he was leaving his family and his land, don't you tell me that he might not have had a little bit of a doubt. Don't tell me that he allowed God, okay, I'm taking this first step, God. You get to be with me because this is your will. This is what you want me to do. And he takes that second step and he trusts God more and more and more. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust Him more and more and more. And I'm afraid that we as Christians just don't have the faith that we need to have. Not, we say we do, but I wonder sometimes if we really do. I wonder sometimes if we're really seeking the Lord in all our decisions, in all our life, each and every day. I don't believe there's small decisions that we cannot confront or consult the Lord with. He's there. He wants to hear. He wants to help each and every one of us. We must acknowledge God in our ways through prayer. We must acknowledge God. Instead of trusting in our own understanding, we need to seek the Lord in prayer for wisdom and guidance in every major decision. For some of you, I know I'm not telling you anything new, but sometimes we all need this reinforced. Sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. He has promised to lead His people. Are you His people? Are you believers? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you have a resource beyond the phantom of our mind, beyond the resources of our touch and our look. Why wouldn't you use that? If you were given an assignment in a class and you could use any resources you could go to the library, you could check the concordances out, you could check check out all kinds of reference material, wouldn't you be a little foolish if you didn't? And you read a paper on your own, just on your own knowledge, without going to the library or looking up things up on the internet as far as things go? What kind of paper would you write? What kind of report would you turn in? Listen, we have a great resource. We have a great reference. We have God's Word. We have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit to rely on. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? We must acknowledge Him in all our ways. It is tempting to think, well, the Lord already knows that I need His wisdom and help. Surely He will automatically give it. But remember, God has taught us in His Word to pray specifically and earnestly about all matters. God, there's a reason that God has told us and taught us about prayer. He wants us to use it. It's a resource, a great resource, to go to Him and to pray to Him. And if He's given us, we'd be foolish not to use it. We need to use it. And it comes into play when making major decisions or minor decisions. Do you want to make the right decisions? Do you want to do what's right according to God, or do you want to stumble on your merry way and make all kinds of mistakes in your life? I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to guide and direct. I've not always been this way. I've been foolish like a lot and not always trusted in the Lord. I've not always waited on the Lord. There have been times that I've surged ahead, and let me tell you, I've suffered the consequences for it. So I know of what I speak. I've been there and done those things. And if I could give you any warning, use God's resource of prayer and ask Him for guidance and direction. To fail to do so is a recipe for making bad decisions in your life. We must acknowledge God in all our ways through consulting the Bible. If we want to make wise decisions, we must be diligent Bible students. It is through the Bible that we know God's mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Listen, what did Christ come down to do? Not only to die on the cross, which was a major thing, but didn't he also come to reveal the Father to us? To let us know how much the Father loves us and cares for us and is there for us? God wants us to know all that we need to know. And as far as the Word of God goes, as far as our life goes, you get in the Bible, and sometimes you can make decisions on decisions that people in the Bible made when they consulted the Lord or when they didn't consult the Lord, when they made errors or when they were able to make the right decisions based on the Word of God. Listen, how many times do we have to read in the Old Testament when Israel loved the Lord and worshiped the Lord, things went good for them. But when they departed from the Lord and His will, things went bad for them. How many times are we basically any different when we try to go ahead of the Lord and make decisions, every decision, without consulting Him first and waiting upon Him as far as His answers go? I know the praying part is easy, asking the part is easy, but waiting is hard. Listen, I'm telling you this. I'm not pastored a church for about 14, 15 months, and it bothers me. It really bothers me. I know I get to preach, and I bless God that I've met each and every one of you. I bless this ministry. I wouldn't look forward to leaving you, but God is putting something inside of me. There's a fire that burns, and I can't quench it. There's something inside of me that God, the Holy Spirit, put in there that says that I need to preach and teach. There are people out there that need to hear the Word of God. Listen, you think it's easy to stand still? It isn't. If you've had any experience in your life at all where God has told you to wait, you know it's not easy. But I don't want to make the wrong decision. I want to do and be exactly where God wants me to be. And if it's here, then I'll be here with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, until God says to leave. But I tell you, there's a burning, there's a fire within it says, go, go, go. But I'm saying, not this time. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm going to wait until he says a go. But we need to pray. We need to consult the Bible. It is through the Bible that we learn God's will. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want direction? You want that direction to be fully lit? Then trust in this Bible. The Bible tells us. You want to do what's right? Walk down the right path? Do the right things? Then obey God's word. Consult it. If we only get in it, if we only read a few chapters a year, if we only read a few verses a month, you're missing out on a great resource. You're missing out on a great help. You're missing out on a great comfort. You're missing out on a great strength that'll get you through just about anything. But we need to be in the Word of God. There's all kinds of stories. There's all kinds of examples. Why do you think it's in there? It's in there for a reason, to help us. We shouldn't today be weak Christians. We shouldn't be weak Christians today. We should be the strongest Christians there ever was. Because look at what we have. We have the full, complete Word of God and all of its examples. But sometimes Christians are just mamby-pamby, wish-washy, not very strong at all. And that's a shame. We need to be stronger than ever. We've got more than our forefathers had as far as knowing about prayer and the Word of God and how we should act and how we should live. But yet sometimes we seem to be the weakest. We get tossed to and fro. Look outside. Look at some of these people that go to some of these churches and how they're tossed to and fro. And they believe in all these false doctrines. What a shame. They should be able to pick those out according to God's word and say, no, that's not right. That's not for me. But the problem is, they're not getting in the Word of God. They're not getting on their knees. They're not praying. And what a shame. It is through the Bible that we obtain faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must take every opportunity to grow in our knowledge of God's holy Word so we can know His will and make wise decisions. You want to know how to make wise decisions? Stay in God's Word. Trust in God to help you as far as that decision making. Step aside, God, here I lay it before you. Step aside and say to God, I lay this problem before you. I want to take this step, but before I take this step, God, I'm relying on you to show me if this is the right path. Light that path before me so that I know that I'm walking right according to your will and your way. Listen, I'm 62 years old. I've made plenty of mistakes. I figured some time ago it's time to allow the Lord to guide my path. And I've been a lot happier about it, in all honesty. Still don't mean that I don't make mistakes, but I certainly have made sure that more often than not nowadays that I'm trusting in Him and allowing Him to be in that decision-making process. We must take every opportunity to grow in our knowledge of God's holy Word so that we can know His will and make decisions. Second, when making a decision, make sure you are walking in the light. Make sure you're walking in the light. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10 says this. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. To walk in sin is to walk in darkness, and it hinders our spiritual living and our thinking. Listen, if you're not right with God, you're not going to think right. You're not on that spiritual level that you need to be. It's going to be hindered. And we need to understand that stuff. That's why it's so important for us to do the things. You know, time in and time again, how many times have we heard, for some of you that's been here, Brother Carl, how many messages have you heard in your lifetime? And some of them you've heard over, and you've heard over and over. And some of us, we haven't even applied some of the things that have been preached. But yet we're missing out. It's hindering us. We're not working on all cylinders as far as our Christian life goes. And we need to be, especially when it comes to making decisions. I want God. I don't want anything to be in the way. I don't want a sin to be in the way when I need God, when I need to wait on him, when I need to offer something up to him. I want that out of the way. I don't want a roadblock. I want that prayer to go shoot right up to God, unhindered. We need to make him the center of our affection. And I'm afraid that we don't. Everything else gets in the way. Everything else replaces this, that, and the other. You ever have a day where you've planned it through and through? When I get up, I'm going to do da, 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 da. And then as soon as you get up, within 5 to 10 minutes of that time, you get one phone call and blows everything out of the water. It just blows everything out of the water. Well, let me tell you this. Regardless of that, as far as Christians, Christ always needs to be the center of our affection. He always needs to be our central point. He always needs to be in the center of our activities and the center of our doings and our don'ts. He needs to be in the center of that. The Bible wants, it's just, to walk in sin is to walk in darkness. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." The Bible warns that the backslider will be filled with their own ways rather than the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Listen, you want God's blessings, you want God to speak to you, you want God to direct you, then you need to be properly prepared spiritually. You need to be doing right. You need to be thinking right. You need to be acting right. Because again, you need to be full force when it comes to consulting the Lord and waiting for him. To make important decisions in a backslidden spiritual state is a recipe for disaster. It is. Some people, have you ever heard people say, "You know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and haven't got my prayers answered"? Where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Are you right with the Lord? Are you a little backslidden? Have you made God the center of your affection? Are you right with him? Maybe you've built a little blockage. And God says, until you remove that blockage, you know, there's nothing I'm going to do right now. I don't want any of that, because I want God's will, don't you? We want God's will. We want a clear path. We want a clear path, and we need that. To make important decisions, again, we must make sure that we are walking in the light. Many believers who were far from the Lord in their hearts have made decisions about marriage, jobs, and educations that they later come to regret. Why? Because God has never been the center, or is not the center. There's something that's blocked their way. If you want God to help you, there's answers. Sometimes when people say, "Well, God doesn't do this," there's a reason for it. We need to seek those reasons. God is not answering, "I can't get out of the Bible what other people get out." There's a reason for it. There's a reason. You need to do a little self-examination as far as your life. Is there something that's blocking that, so that you can have fabulous results? So that God does open up your eyes. So that God is, that you feel God is close to you as you've ever felt. You say, "I don't understand why I don't feel close to God." Examine yourself. There's a reason for it.
Don't make an excuse, well, maybe God just doesn't. No, maybe you just need to do something. Maybe it's you that have built up that blockage and is hindering your prayers. Maybe it's us. Third, when making a decision, make sure that your delight is in the Lord. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." The way to know God's will is to put him at the center again of your affection. The will of God is not found by those who approach the Christian life as a mere list of do's and don'ts. And I'm afraid we do that a lot of times. You know, we've already heard, "Oh, I read my Bible today, check. I prayed today, check." And sometimes that's exactly what we've done. "I read my Bible today, check. I'm so glad that's over with for today." Today was one of those days I didn't think I'd ever get my Bible reading done. I labored till about 11 o'clock. It just seemed like things just didn't go the way. But I was determined that nothing was going to stop me, that I was going to do this. I just felt like the devil was trying to do everything he could to trip me up so that I wouldn't read, that I wouldn't do my memory verses today, and that I wouldn't study a little bit today. I just felt it was a labor. But sometimes it seems like we as Christians, we do that all the time. It's just, well, I've got to read today. I've got to go to church tonight. And then we sometimes wonder why we make mistakes as far as our decisions go. We're not giving God all. We're not giving him all. We're not doing it in the right heart with the right attitude. It is found by those who know Christ personally, the delight. The will of God is not found by those who approach the life of the Christian life as a mere list of do's and don'ts. It is found by those who know Christ personally and delight in him. Do you delight in him? Do you pick up your Bible? And I do this, and I know I was reading Chronicles today, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 2, 3, and it gives you the genealogy. And I'm telling you, it's some rough reading. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but when it comes to pronouncing all those names, I don't. I look at them because I know God's watching. And I don't want to skip. I know what this is. I don't want to skip it. I'll go, my eyes, look at every one of those lines. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, but I ask, and out of the clear blue sky, God will show something. It'll stop with the genealogies, and it'll make a specific point about a specific person or a tribe or someone, and it'll catch your attention. And if I didn't go line by line by line, I would have missed that. But isn't that the way we should do our Bible reading and our prayers and stuff? Shouldn't we do it that way? Aren't we really showing the Lord? Lord, I'm serious about this. I want to know about you. I want to know what's right and what's wrong. When we do this, he puts the right desires in our heart and then fulfills those desires. The worldly Christian, on the other hand, is filled with the desires that are contrary to God's will and lives and lives in frustration because they are not fulfilled. And that's the way it is. People, you can get defeated pretty quickly. God isn't answering my prayer. What's going on here? But sometimes we just don't look at ourselves. Sometimes when God is silent, he's telling us, wait. And we learn those lessons. Sometimes he by not talking to us right away, he says, take a breath. Hold on. I'll show you. You'll see the reason for this down the road. But that's part of it. That's part of getting to know the Lord a little bit. That's because we're praying to him, not just, Lord, please bless Aunt Sis, and so on and so. We're praying to him, God, bless. And bless, open up my eyes and my heart. God, I want to know about you. I want to know all there is to know. I want to be in that fellowship with you. And God will reveal special things, and God will help you when making decisions as far as your Christian life goes. Fourth, when making decisions, don't do anything that would cause you to disobey the Bible. In John 8,
Verse 31 and 32, it says, "Then said Jesus to those which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you, shall make you free." Making wise decisions, very simply, is making decisions according to the Bible. Jesus described it as to continue in my word, and that's what we need to do. Continue. Any decisions that cause you to disobey the Bible is contrary to God's will. Living by faith is simply to believe God and obey his word. This means to learn to make decisions based on the Bible rather than on one's feelings and human thinking and circumstances. We need to trust God to open up the right doors and provide the needs. The Bible says we do not associate with evil or idolatry. 1 Corinthians tells us that, 15 verses 33, and Romans 12, 2 also tells us that we need to stay away from evil and idolatry. And we know about those things, but do we apply them? Listen, when a television program comes on that's evil, there's cursing and all kinds of vile, do you turn it off? Do you get away from it? Do you not decide, well, I'm not watching that anymore? It makes a difference. Someone's watching. Someone's watching. It's important for us. The Bible says, living by faith means that we do not associate with such things. The Bible says, do not neglect the church. We read Hebrews 10:25 all the time. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you that it's wrong to make decisions that would cause you to forsake the assembly of God? It's wrong. Like moving into a place where there's no good church or taking a job that would keep you out of the service. Listen, I know we have to work. I know that, and I'm not talking about that. But if it doesn't bother you when you miss church, there's something wrong. There really is. I know people have to work on Sundays. I know people have to work on Wednesdays. I know that that takes place. But if you get a chance to get off of it, you ought to get off of it and get to church, because it's going to bring you down. It's going to hurt. It's going to affect some of our decision-making decisions when we purposely decide, well, I'll go ahead and work on Sundays. It's no. If you have an opportunity not to, then I think we should not. I think we need to be in the house of the Lord. I think we need to be learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's just wrong. A young man was saved out of a drug lifestyle. He showed promises and was growing in the Lord. And then his father asked him to return to his village. In spite of the counsel against it, he went. And from that point, he backslid in his Christian life. It matters about going to church. It matters. When you don't go to church, if your battery doesn't get drained, spiritually, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. If it doesn't bother you to miss church, there's something wrong. If you don't have the desire, the first opportunity you get to be able to get on a shift or work, not have to work on church nights, then you ought to take it. And when church is open and you can get there, we need to be there. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have life with darkness? It is never God's will for a believer to marry an unbeliever or go into business with an unbeliever. A man who was one of the first converts in a new church did well and grew, but eventually he went into business with an unbeliever, and because of his partner's crooked ways, he ended up in jail, and his testimony was corrupt. I'm talking about stuff that you know is wrong. I'm not talking about getting involved in something and then finding out that it's crooked, wicked, and evil. I'm talking about purpose. You want to save yourself? You want to make some good decisions? Then make sure that if there's anyone in here that hasn't been married, isn't married, that when you do get married, you marry a Christian.
And when you go into business with someone, make sure that they're on the up and up and they're a Christian. I can guarantee you your chances of being successful rise a lot higher than if you don't. All these things are important. All these things will keep us, will help us make right decisions or make us wrong decisions. Make wrong decisions if we don't heed to these things. The Bible says, do not associate with false doctrine. Romans 6:17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. This means that it is not God's will for a believer to attend a Bible study or a church where false doctrine is taught or read, or books read or listened to sermons by false teachers. It's not right. It's not. We shouldn't do that. You're making a wrong decision. Well, when I was saved, not too many years, when we were overseas, my wife and I was invited to go to a Mormon church for a Mormon activity. And we just said, we were young Christians, and we said, hey, why not? So we went. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, we knew exactly when we got there we were in the wrong place. I didn't have no peace about it. I just knew that I was exactly where I was not supposed to be. We need to make good decisions. When somebody starts teaching falsely or preaching falsely, we need to get away from that. We don't need to be associated with that. That's all part of that making decision, making right decisions, the process. Making wise decisions simply means the child of God will do anything will not do anything contrary to God's word. If we disobey the Bible, we cannot expect God's blessing. We cannot expect it. We cannot expect God to listen, to help us make right decisions. Before long, that old nature's going to take over. We're going to go forward, and we're going to make decisions that we're going to regret. So we need to consult the Lord. Many Christians do this to make our own. If we disobey the Bible, we cannot expect God's blessing. What many Christians do is to make their own plans and then ask God to bless those plans. But that is backwards. God, I'm going to do this, so I'm asking you to bless it. That's backwards. We always need to seek God's will and God's way before, ahead of time. We must first make certain that our plans are in accordance with God's will. Then we can reasonably ask and expect God's blessings. There are so many other things I could tell you about making decisions. But listen, God needs to be in our heart. God needs to be part of our lives. God needs to be the center of our attention. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to seek the Word of God. We need, in prayer, to seek God's Word. We need to stay away from the things that are going to hinder us, the evil things that are going to stop us from making, for God giving us direction and guidance and making the right decisions. It's a narrow path, but so is a salvation. It's a narrow way, but if you want God's blessing, if you want to be successful in life, you've got to chart that course and not deviate left or right from it. You need to go right down that aisle, because God says, if you will, then I will help you make your decisions, and they will be godly decisions, and I will bless and encourage you all the way down through to the end. And that's exactly what we need as far as Christians go. We don't need to get ahead of God. Listen, there's enough of that already going on. There's enough bad decisions being made by people who are not Christians. We need to have our heads on tight and straight. We need to be in the Word of God. We need God's help. We need God in our decision-making process each and every day. I could give you story after story of people going ahead of God and the troubles that they've endured because of that. If they just would have waited, if they just would have let the Lord talk to them, if they would have not built up any roadblocks so that God could be with them and guide and direct them, then they would have been much happier, and they would have made great decisions for the Lord, and the Lord will bless. Listen, I'm just as guilty as anyone else as far as making bad decisions. But boy, I tell you what, the Lord has really showed me some things and tried to encourage me to walk down the right path. I know sometimes I'm a little bit stubborn, a little bit bullheaded, and sometimes I'll say, oh, you just come with me, Lord. You just follow me. This will turn out all right. And it never does. And it won't. And for that, I'm sincerely sorry for. But to make the right decision, we need God on our side. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Father, we do thank you that you're there for us 24/7. Father, when we wake up in the middle of the night, you're here. You're there for us. You want to hear us pray. Father, I wherever we are, Father, you're there with us, trying to encourage us, trying to help us, trying to lead us. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't stumble and fall and allow that old nature to consume us and to guide us and direct us in areas that we do not need to go. Father, we live in a world that's wicked and cursed. We need every bit of you that we can get. So help us, Father, make the right decisions. Help us wait upon you. Help us seek your will and way. Father, give us the encouragement, the guidance and direction that we need each and every day and each and every decision. Father, just bless our people here. Bless our pastor. Be with him. Father, I pray if there'd be one in our midst that has never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they wouldn't leave before they walk down this aisle and someone could take the Bible and show them beyond a shadow of a doubt, if they were to die, they could spend an eternity with you in heaven. Father, it's in your book. You want all to know. You've let it be proclaimed. Father, it's up to the individual to surrender their lives and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. If there's one in our midst that has never received Christ, I pray, Father, that during the invitation time that they would receive Christ. Father, bless and encourage the Christians. Strengthen them. Help them, Father, in their decision process. Father, encourage them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you need to come.